Thanks for taking the time to listen to this weekly sermon from Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. Our vision is to know God and to make Him known, and we now offer two services on Sundays. Our classic service begins at 9 a.m., and our modern service begins at 11:15 a.m., and it's also streamed on Facebook Live. Please visit our website at southsidenow.church so you can find out more about how we are helping make and grow disciples in the Florence area. For now, sit back and take in today's message from God's Word.
All right, let's give a pause for Lord Jesus here. So I hope you had a wonderful Christmas and a Happy New Year once again. And we went up to Cincinnati. That's where I'm from originally. And I got to preach at my brother's church. His name is Brent. And Brent's going to be here with us in February. He's going to preach for us. He's a Southern Baptist pastor as well. And so I'll be glad to have him. But so I'm curious, anyone, you stayed up till midnight, got your collards, greens in, and your black-eyed peas? Anyone, you stayed up to midnight? Like, you can, okay, anyone like, I was in bed by 9, right? Anyone like that? Yeah, party poopers, yeah. But we watched the ball drop, and I didn't realize how many people, I mean, I know a lot of people watch the ball drop, but 175 million on average watch the ball drop. About a ton and a half of confetti fall there in Times Square. Now, this is what's crazy to me. They pay almost about $200 a ticket to be there in Times Square and to let the cold rain fall on them. I mean, there's a million people. Where do you go to the bathroom? Yeah, you don't want to lose your spot. So, you know, it's almost like a Dumb and Dumber. Just go, you know. And so that's probably how it works, I guess. I don't know. But how many of you made a New Year's resolution that you kept for 2018? You kept it. You had it. My daughter made one. My daughter, she decided not to drink pop, or as you say in the South, soda or Coke. Calling it Coke makes no sense, by the way, but soda does. But she didn't drink soda all year long. That's impressive. I've had some family, I've had some relatives who decided to not eat chocolate all year, and they did it. I'm like, why? I'm pretty sure if your resolution involves you torturing yourself, it's not a good one. All right, it's not. Don't have resolutions to torture yourself. But they say that 65% of Americans make some kind of New Year's resolution, from working out to wanting to lose weight to traveling more, saving more money are some of the main ones. And what's interesting is that New Year's really, it kind of transcends like cultures. It really does. In fact, we've been doing this for a very long time. I was reading, and I read this on the internet because I know it's true if I read it on the internet, that even the Babylonians 4,000 years ago, they celebrated New Year's, and the resolution was to take back borrowed farm equipment, is what I read. So maybe if you have something that you've borrowed, maybe you need to return it. But 80% of the resolutions that we make by February, we've already broken. In fact, only about 8 or 9% fulfill their New Year's resolution in which they make. And maybe it's so hard because maybe sometimes we're maybe a little overambitious with our resolution. Maybe it's because we've made too many, or it's a little bit too restrictive. Like, you know, I'm gonna stop, you know, eating any sugar for all of 2019. Then you get like a day into it, and you're like, I think I'm gonna die. And any of you ever gone on like a no carb diet? I tried that about a month or two ago, and like 3 days in, I would stab you for a piece of bread. Like, I'm like, honey, I'm not doing this. Like, life's too short to do this. I'm just not. I mean, I'm all for working out and dieting. That's nice, but I can't do that. But experts say this. They said, make your goals SMART, an acronym for specific, right? Measurable, achievable, make it realistic, and then timely. And so that we should remember that if we go 3 steps forward and we go 1 step backwards, remember, hey, you at least have gone 2 steps forward. But I think it's good to aim at something new for the new year. It's a good time to do that. You know, as they say, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every single time. And maybe that's your resolution. I'm just going to do nothing. I know I'll fulfill it. But But I want you to turn this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And my challenge for Southside, my challenge this morning for you is, and there can be many different challenges, but I want us this morning to focus on doing this, especially this one thing this year. Maybe there's many other things you have that you want to do, but I want you to focus on this morning, glorifying God in all of the ways of your life in 2019. This is what it says in Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And don't give offense to Jews or Gentiles or the church of God. I'm going to explain this verse 32 and 33 here in a second. It says, I too try to please everyone in everything I do. I don't just do what is best for me. I do what is best for others, and so that many may be saved. Now, the context of where this verse is at in chapter 10 is the church there in Corinth was they were struggling with some issues, and they had some questions. And one of the questions they had was, should we eat some of the meat that had been offered to idols? Now, the Christians, the mature believers, knew that there was nothing wrong with the meat that had been offered to idols. It would grill just as well as something that hadn't been offered to idols would grill, right? And so they wanted to know if they could eat that. And Paul, what he's saying to them is, he said, listen, for someone who is a new believer, such a thing may trip them up. It may trip them up. Because the belief was that when they offered the sacrifices to those false gods, that evil spirits would connect themselves to that sacrifice, and that you would not want to touch it. You would not want to eat it, which is a falsehood. But nevertheless, they was something that bothered their conscience. And so Paul is telling them here, he's letting them know that listen, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. He said, I try to please everyone in everything I do. And so he's referring to of how he walks in his Christian faith. Now, if you definitely want to fail in life, try to please everybody, right? That's not what Paul is saying here. He's not saying, okay, in your life, try to please everybody. That's impossible, right? That can't happen. But he wants to show us two basic principles for practical Christian living right here. And first one is, believers are to do everything for the glory of God. The second one's very simple as well, that believers are not to give offense and should avoid doing anything that would trip up another believer, brother or sister in Christ, that would trip them up, that would be a stumbling block in their faith. But let's first talk about this. What does it really mean to glorify God? The word glory, as related to God in the Old Testament, bears the idea of greatness, of splendor, of just making much of God. In the New Testament, the word translated glory means dignity, honor, praise, worship. Putting the two together, we find that glorifying God means to acknowledge his greatness and give him honor by praising and worshiping him, primarily because he and he alone deserves to be praised, honored, and worshiped. There's no one else that deserves our praise and our worship. But to honor, but to glorify him, to acknowledge his greatness. Think about that. In your life, during the week, and you're here in church, first Sunday of 2019, so glad you're here and that you're putting God first starting here in 2019. But do you take time in your life every day to acknowledge the greatness of God? In other words, to give him the honor and the glory in which he deserves. Listen, God wants that for you. You need to do that. Because listen, if we are going to, whether we eat, drink, or whatever we do, give all of the glory of God, we need to take time to honor him. Whether it's you singing in your car to praise and worship music, right? Or it's you taking 15 minutes a day to pray and to be in the Word of God, you need to take time to feed your soul, to give him glory. See, when you take time and set it aside, you're saying, God, you are important. Lord, our relationship is important. Listen, I'm not going to challenge you to be more religious here this morning. No, I'm going to challenge you here this morning to give God glory in all aspects of your life. Completely. The question that comes to mind is, if God has all the glory, which he does, if he has all the glory, then how then do we give him glory. How can we give God something which he has in the first place? I believe the key is in 1 Chronicles 16. This is what it reads. It reads this. It reads, O nations of the world, recognize the Lord. Recognize that the Lord is glorious and strong. Give to the Lord the glory he deserves. Bring your offering and come into his presence. Worship the Lord in all of his holy splendor. Go to that first slide, guys, if you would, the beginning of that verse. Notice, recognize the Lord. Recognize that the Lord is glorious and strong. How do we do that? How do we recognize the Lord and recognize his glory? One, you're recognizing it just by being in church this morning. By taking time and seeing the beauty in which God has made around you, appreciating what he's given you. Maybe 2018 was a very difficult year for you. Maybe you expect 2019 to be better. Maybe you expect it to be worse. Maybe you expect it to be the same. But this is what I know about God, who's my Heavenly Father, is that whether times are good, times are bad, or times are just average, he is good. And during those times of good and the bad, I'm going to glorify his name. Listen, I mean, it's kind of cheap, really. It's kind of cheap just to glorify God when everything is going great in your life. When my health is good, my finances are good, my marriage is good, man, I can definitely glorify God. My kids are behaving. I mean, they ate all their dinner without throwing a fit. Woo, glorify God, right? I mean, glorify God. Glorify God during the good times. What about the difficult times? Listen, glorify him. Glorify him. Make much of Jesus. Our mission statement here at Southside is to know God and make him known, to glorify him. That's what we're called to do. So notice, it says recognize and then take action. Give, bring, worship. So make the decision. Make the decision every day to glorify God. You make that decision. Someone's not going to make it for you. You make that alone. What will you do? You see, give to the Lord the glory he deserves, it says. He deserves it. He wants that from us. Listen, we have a Heavenly Father. He knows everything about you. He knows your faults. He knows your quirks. He knows your mistakes. He knows your failures. He knows your sin. And yet he still loves us. And in 2019, he'll still love you. And so you may think to yourself, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough to come to the Lord. I don't feel clean enough. And you never, we never always feel that way. But I want you to know, that's a lie our enemy wants us to think, that we'll never be good enough. We'll never be measured up for God to love us the way we want. But he loves you and he's crazy about you. What should you do? Glorify him. In your imperfection, glorify him. Your marriage isn't where you want it to be, glorify him. Your kids aren't doing what they should be doing, glorify him. Glorify him in the good and in the bad. You see, Christian, glorify him in the way that you live. Glorify him in the way that you live. Listen, he knows we're not perfect, but by the way that we live, it does matter. We represent Jesus Christ. If we call ourselves a Christian, it means we represent Jesus Christ. No, we are not perfect, but the way that we do live, it matters. God's will for you is to do everything for the glory of God. God wants to be shown off among his people. He wants to be revealed among his people. He doesn't want apologies. What person apologizes for their spouse being next to them? We don't need to apologize for the Lord. Look, the Bible is the basis of our faith and practice. Maybe you're afraid at work or in your life of being looked down upon because you're a Christian, you have faith in God. Maybe some who are intellectual around you think, man, it's just not very respectable to believe that there even is a God. But, we can talk about that at another point in time. How do we know there is a God? But I know he exists. I know that he is. And life makes sense in believing in him and knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. If you're being ashamed in your life of the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you're missing out. You're missing out on glorifying him. Be bold as a lion. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's who we serve. Stand out. Anyone can go with the flow. You can be dead and go with the flow. Anyone can float on down the river. But it takes a man or woman of God to say, you know what, I'm going to follow God even if no one else around me is. You may think to yourself, well, you don't understand, in the workplace I work in, I'm the only Christian. You know, preacher, you don't understand, I'm the only Christian in my family. Glorify Him and let God take care of the rest. Has it dawned on you that you might be the only Christian where you're at because God has a mission for you? He does. Hello, He has a mission for you. He put you right where you needed to be that light, to be that salt, to help bring people to Jesus Christ, to glorify Him. Glorify Him. Stand out. You see, on our best day, we're nothing but dummies. We are. You say, well, wait a second, you call me a dummy here this morning? Listen, when you go to a store, you go in the Kohl's. My wife loves to go in the Kohl's. She loves to spend money at Kohl's. I think I owe Kohl's anyway. But they have mannequins. Another word for a mannequin is a dummy, right? The job of a dummy is to magnify the fashion of the store. They put clothes on that dummy. The dummy didn't have clothes put on it by itself. Someone had to put clothes on that dummy. An owner or a manager or a worker put clothes to glorify, to show off those clothes. On our best day, we're nothing but dummies. What God wants to do, He wants to dress you up. He's given you a new nature. He's given you a new life. He wants to dress you up, and He's saying, listen, I want you to attract people, not only when times are good, but I want you to attract people to me even when times are bad. And so, regardless of where you're at, once you realize that your job is to make much of Jesus, to glorify God in your life, and you realize that this life is not about you. You realize that this life is not about you. It's about glorifying God in all that you do. Where are you going to find? Listen, I'll tell you what you'll find. You'll find peace. You'll find joy. You'll find the fulfillment you've been looking for. You were designed to worship God. You were designed to bring Him glory. Is God getting the glory out of your life? Are you making decisions that bring Him glory? I've had people say to me before, you know, preacher, I don't need to go to church faithfully in order to be a Christian. You're right. If you want to be a good one, you need to be faithful in church. You see, you can't read the New Testament and come to the conclusion that you should not be faithful to something that Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, died for. And in fact, Scripture says, and before you say, oh, okay, whatever, preacher, Hebrews 10:25 tells us, forsake not the assembling of yourselves as a manner of some. It's something we're told in Scripture. As believers, we should be faithfully in church. And so I'm so glad you were starting off the first Sunday of the year in church. Be faithful in church. God expects that out of you. He wants that out of you. And if you're going to be able to glorify Him the way you should, and being a part of the body of Christ, He's called you to glorify Him. He's called you to worship Him. So moms, dads, does God get the glory out of the way that you treat each other? Moms, dads, is God getting the glory out of your family that it should? Is God getting the glory at your workplace? Is God getting the glory in everything that you do? When people look at you at work and they go, you know what, that's a good worker right there. Or do they say, nah, that person's kind of lazy? In your Christian walk, God has called us to bring Him glory. We must not be lazy about it. We must be on top of things and give Him the glory. Here's also what I want to challenge you to do. Glorify God by making wise decisions. It's a wise decision to obey God. Notice what it says. It says, bring your offering. Bring your offering there in 1 Chronicles 16. You say, well, that's the Old Testament, right? Then they have like offerings they brought, like lambs and turtle doves and something. You're right. That's not the kind of offering I'm talking about. You should bring Him an offering. Well, what should I bring? You. Offer yourself to the Lord. Say, God, here I am. God, what do you want me to do? God, what ways am I not glorifying you that you want me to glorify you? God, what is there an area in the church I should be serving in and working in? Here at Southside, we don't have any volunteers here. Not a one. We don't need volunteers. Jesus never asked for volunteers. Jesus said, I need workers for my field. What do we need here? We need more workers. We have so many people who work and serve here. It's awesome. You see, workers get paid. We'll be rewarded for the work in which we've done here on earth. And so here at Southside, we want to glorify God because he's worthy of honor and glory. Everything that we should do, and hey, we still got things to work on, right? But everything that we should do should be top class, the best that we can possibly do within our means. Why? Because he is worthy of it, right? I mean, we want to bring him glory and honor. And so we try to bring him glory and honor in everything that we do. But we should make wise decisions. Glorify God by making wise decisions. There's a story in Matthew 7. Turn with me in Matthew 7. I want to show you something. In Matthew 7, we read of two different men who, one made a wise decision, one did not. It's in chapter 7 of Matthew in verse 24. It says, anyone who listens to my teaching, these are the words of Jesus here. He's speaking, all right? He's saying to them, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. You want to be wise? Follow the commandments and the teachings of Jesus. Amen, right? Like a person, this is what you'll be like. Like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey, it is foolish. Like a person who builds a house on sand. And when the rain and floods come, the winds beat against the house, and it will collapse with a mighty crash. And when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. For he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. And today, what has been taught and taught and taught, some by our media, sometimes in our schools, sometimes in our colleges, is that truth is relative. What may be truth for you may not be truth for me. But the Word of God says differently. Truth is truth. Truth doesn't change. Truth is what it is. Truth sometimes gets a strong response. It can upset people. Why? Because it is truth. But notice here in this parable the point of it. The point of this parable is that there's not a difference in opportunity. Both of these men heard the same words. There's not a difference in ability. Both started out equal. There's not a difference in the houses. Not a difference at all. There's not a difference in the trials that come. The rain, the storms come. The difference is the foundation. And listen, if you want to glorify God by making wise decisions and building your life upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. See, Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:11, it says, other foundation can no man lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Build your life upon him as your foundation. It's the wisest decision you can make, and it will glorify him. Have you had that moment in time? I remember I got saved when I was 7 years old. I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and I was baptized a couple weeks later. I grew up in church. I grew up around church. And when I was 14, I went to a church camp. And I was challenged by a similar message. You may be saved. You may know God. You may have all that settled. And that's wonderful. But really, does God have all of you? Have you offered yourself as a sacrifice, saying, God, use me in any capacity in which you want to use me, even if it's a little bit scary, even if it's a little bit out of my comfort zone? God, use me. I want to challenge you. You want to glorify God? You need to do that. You want to glorify God? Do it. You won't regret it. It's one of the most exciting things you can do in your life. Glorify him. Remember the two basic principles for Christian living. Believers are to do everything for the glory of God. Believers are not to give offense, but should avoid doing anything that would harm and trip up other Christians in their life. So glorify God with wise decisions. Glorify God by thinking of others. Listen, we as believers, if you're a believer here this morning, you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You represent Jesus Christ. You represent his church. You bring God glory by the way you treat other people. So let me ask, how do you treat other people who are around you? That neighbor next door, or across the street. Maybe they're a jerk. I don't know. Do you treat them just like a jerk right back? It's easy. That's what the flesh wants to do, right? That person who gossips about you at work or in your family, or even sometimes, and we shouldn't, at church. How do you treat people? How do you treat people? Are you glorifying God by the way you treat others? What about the people in your own home? You know, what I've discovered is this, is that if people are not on my heart, they're on my nerves. Think about that. If your kids are on your nerves, they're probably not on your heart. If your spouse is always on your nerves, they're not on your heart. If your parents are on your nerves, they're not on your heart. If church people are on your nerves, they're not on your heart. Listen, nowhere in the Bible it says you got to like everybody, even in church, but it says you should love them. You should care about them. God wants us to love people. We cannot glorify God without loving people. He said, I don't know if I can do that, preacher. You don't know who I'm married to. Well, that's true. I don't know who you're married to, maybe, but Romans tells us this, Romans 5:5. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit. Notice this, don't miss this. To fill our hearts with his love. It's something the Holy Spirit does. And a byproduct of being a believer and glorifying God, what happens is the Holy Spirit puts a love in your heart for the things of God. And that includes the people of God. Listen, if you come to church and you hate the people of God, you may not be saved. You may have some issues. You got some issues. A byproduct of having the Holy Spirit fill us with his love is you love the people around you. I've been in some churches where maybe kids make a mess, right? Kids make a mess. They all make a mess. Us husbands, we make a mess, right? But even with children, they make a mess. But what if there was no children in church? You'd want that mess. You'd want to see that mess. You see, part of what comes with loving people is dealing with the mess. It's part of what happens. Love the mess. Love the mud that is around. It can be cleaned up. It can be cleaned up. We're called to love. Listen, if everyone is on your nerves, you're the problem. Because the Holy Spirit. So what should you do? Preacher, what should I do? Repent. Yeah. Say, God, I'm sorry. You know what? We have a loving Heavenly Father that He knows where we're at. He knows who we are. He'll forgive you. He'll love you. Every time, I try to every single day, and I always, before I come up here to preach, say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. What am I saying? I'm saying, Lord, I want your Holy Spirit to control me today. Does that always happen? No. But God, I want to recognize and glorify and just let you know that as I start this day, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit, that when things are unexpected, when maybe something comes across unloving or something that someone else does that does aggravate me, God, that I can react in love. With my children, I want to react in love. With my spouse, something aggravates, I want to react in love. God wants us to love. You say, man, 2018 was just, I was the problem, preacher. I get it. I was the problem. You know, what should you do? I saw on a greenhouse sign, it said, the best time to plant a tree was 25 years ago. The second best time is today. You know, you can't help what happened yesterday and you can't help what happened in 2018. But in 2019, you can plant that tree. And why not plant it today? If you're here this morning and you've never made that decision to repent of your sins and ask Christ to be your Lord and Savior, why not do that today as you start this new year here in church? Why not pray and say, God, forgive me. He'll save you. He'll forgive you. Why not become a Christian today? Maybe you're here this morning and you've already done that. You've already prayed and you've asked Christ in your life, but you've never followed the Lord in baptism. Now, baptism won't make you any more saved. We're going to baptize here in just a little bit. It won't make you any more saved, but it was a command from the Lord that we should be baptized. Why? It lets everyone know publicly that I have received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. It's kind of like a wedding ring, right? If I take the wedding ring off, I'm still married. If I give the wedding ring to someone who's not married and they put it on, it doesn't make them married. It's simply a symbol showing of a commitment made between my spouse and I. That's what baptism is. Baptism is that symbol showing I have been saved, I have been redeemed, I have been forgiven, and I want to give God the glory starting here in 2019. In 2019, at the end of the year, I don't know if you at the scale will tell you that you are skinnier or if you weigh more or if you have more money or less money, but I do know this, God is faithful. And he's faithful in the good times, and he's faithful in the bad times. And regardless of what comes your way, I want to challenge you, give God all the glory, and you will not regret it. Glorify his name. Let's pray. Father, we love you. I'm thankful that you are patient and kind, and Lord, that you desire a relationship with us. God, I pray that if someone's watching online or if they're here this morning and they realize that they are lost, that they need Jesus, they need forgiveness, I pray that they will make the decision before it's eternally too late. Because once this life's over, there's no other decisions to be made. You've given us this time to make these decisions. If that's you, why not make that decision today?
Thank you for listening to today's sermon. To find out more about Southside Baptist and our ministry, visit our website, southsidenow.church. Until we meet again, have a great week.